Now we move into the 24th chapter. And we're going to see here that Saul is continuing after his battle with the Philistines to pursue after David. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Now, this was probably a rather small marauding band of Philistines, for it seems that it didn't take very long for Saul to take care of the matter. And now that he's finished with the Philistines, it's told him that David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. He still has information about where David is. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. So Saul has now 3,000 hand-picked men that he's using to go after David. And he goes to seek him in a place that's described as being upon the rocks of the wild goats. Some descriptions say that this is a place where only goats could travel because of the very nature of the rocks there. And it would be a place considered to be not very fruitful, not very desirous to be in, but nevertheless David, because of his straits, was forced to go there. And he came to the sheep cotes by the way, where was a cave. Now this area is supposed to be very numerously endowed with caves, and some of these caves are large enough that herds of sheep or goats can be kept there. And so they're referred to as sheep cotes, that is, places where sheep are kept. And so Saul came to one of these where there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, that is, he went in to rest. It's in the heat of the day, he's going to take some relaxation, so he goes in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now here, Saul happened to pick a cave that David was in. David and his men. Maybe not all of David's men, but some of his men were with him. And so here they were along the sides of this cave, hiding. And Saul wanders into it to take a rest, not realizing that David is there. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." So the men tell David, "Here's your opportunity, David. All the time that God has said that he's going to deliver his enemy into your hand, this is the time. You can do whatever you want to do now. Saul is yours." He's very vulnerable. He doesn't even know you're here. And there he is taking a rest. All you have to do is to do whatever you want to. You can put him to death. He's yours for the taking. Now these men are interpreting the Lord's telling David that he will deliver thine enemy into thine hand. They're interpreting that to mean that David can put Saul to death. But that's not the way David interprets that. David doesn't look upon this as an opportunity to kill Saul, and he doesn't want to kill Saul. But what he does, he cuts off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. This is to show that he could have slain Saul. This is to prove to Saul that he was very vulnerable, and that David was more honorable than to take his life. This was a proof that although David could have taken his life, he did not do so. Verse 5, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because it cut off Saul's skirt." So David was so far from putting Saul to death that he even had a pang of conscience. He even felt badly about the fact that he had so indignified Saul as to have cut off his skirt. And the reason for this, "And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Now, he still looked upon Saul as being the Lord's anointed. He was the king as long as he lived. He was the king placed there by God. And so, far be it from David to do anything against him. He refers to him as my master, the Lord's anointed. So he has a respect for Saul's high position as king. He does not want to speak evil of dignities here. He wants to give all due respect and honor to this man because of his high position in the sight of God. Regardless of the character of Saul, regardless of the fact that he is not doing what he should do, David's duty is to give this office respect and dignity. And so just the very act of cutting off his skirt, a very small thing, no personal physical harm to Saul at all. indicates to David that he did have some kind of feeling against Saul, that he did have desire to raise his hand against him at all just by cutting off his skirt. So his heart smites him because he cut off Saul's skirt. And he tells his men this, I should not have done this. This is really an act of disrespect. And so the Lord forbid that I should do this to my master. And he further says in verse 7, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise up against Saul. Now these servants of David also had reason to want to take this opportunity to kill Saul. After all, this is why they were also fleeing with David. Their lives were in jeopardy also, seeing what Saul had done to the priest who had assisted David. They knew that their life wasn't worth anything if Saul should capture them. But David stayed them, and he told them not to do any harm to Saul either. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So Saul finished his rest there and left the cave and didn't even know that David was in his presence. And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. So now David, after Saul has left, he decides to go after Saul. He wants to try to reason with the man. He wants to try to face him face to face and talk to him. Be able to show him that he is not his enemy. He doesn't want to do him any harm. He wants to prove to him that he was in a position to harm him. He was in a position to put him to death. He had every reason from man's viewpoint to do so. But he's going to show Saul that he did not do this. So he cried after him, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. So now David assumed a very humble position. He falls down on his knees to the earth and he bows himself to Saul. He is now in the presence of the king. He is now in the presence of the ruling authority of the people of God, Saul. And so David shows all due respect here. Now he has every reason to think from man's standpoint that as soon as Saul sees him, that Saul will do all in his power to put him to death. Saul's already tried that too many times. But yet he lays aside that feeling. He lays aside any jealousy or any enmity that he might have towards Saul, and he thinks Saul so much a man of sense as to hear his reasoning when he had so much to say to try to prove his own innocence and such a fresh and sensible evidence of his own integrity. So in the time of great adversity, David thinks the very best that he can of Saul. And so we ought to, each one, treat every other human being on as high a plane of dignity as we can. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt if there be any. Let's let love rule supreme. Let's let love guide us into not thinking evil if we can possibly think good. Not to say evil if we can possibly say good. Let us also use this as an example when we have a conflict with another person, to do all within our power to appeal to that person's sense of reasoning, that person's sense of understanding, so that we then can have a meeting of the minds. We can talk and discuss our differences. We can try to show that we are someone that can get along. We are someone that does not have to resort to violence and to injury in order to have dealings with another human being, but we can deal with them on the high plane of reasoning and intelligence. And that's what David does here to Saul. He calls Saul. Saul turns and looks at him, and David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. A great example of the humility and great deportment of David. We're going to close our lesson at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.